Without trust, society stagnates.
Economies decline.
And businesses fail.
My Security Media believes through security,
trust between individuals,
organisations,
and government can be maintained. Welcome to the
Cybersecurity
Weekly Podcast.
Welcome to the My Security Media's Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast. We're at Sydney Olympic Park for National Manufacturing Week, and I'm joined by a couple of gentlemen from the Konica Minolta. It's most of us will know this brand. I'm joined by Martin Keitels, who's the National Manager for Robotics, and Mark Brandon, who is across 3D printing, I understand, in your marketing role.
Correct. So 3D printing and robotics.
3D printing and robotics, and that's what we're going to talk about. I haven't had a chance to walk around the floor yet, but at National Manufacturing Week, there are robotics and drones and 3D printers galore, and I've literally been here just 5 minutes to get a taste of it. Gents, we're going to start with you, Mark, because we've had a look at the Figure 4 3D Systems printer, and this is a scalable 3D printer, and I suppose we need to probably start talking about just 3D printing alone, and maybe start with Figure 4. Why is it called Figure 4?
Yeah.
And then we'll move into that.
Absolutely. Thanks, Chris. So it's called Figure 4 because the inventor of 3D printing, the whole industry, is named Chuck Hull, and he filed a patent. And under the patent, he drew a diagram for an inline additive manufacturing solution that is going to make production real and really revolutionize and really scale up production for lots of different industries. And that image was called Figure 4.
Nice.
So flash forward, you know, many decades later, around 3 decades later, his dream has been realized. And we're now at a point where there's the confluence of various technologies all colliding. So we've got material sciences expanding at a rapid rate. We've got software that can process files in a different way. And we've got also robotics and also 3D printing all colliding for a new wave of opportunities.
It's quite incredible when you think about it, because I think traditional 3D printing has always had issues around time, cost, and scale. You talked about the materials. We're now talking about the processing capabilities.
Sure.
And the robotics and the actual demand from industry that this is going to save a lot of money as well in terms of manufacturing and processing.
Exactly. So yeah, I guess over the last 10 years, a lot of people would associate 3D printing with rapid prototyping. But now we're at the point where we're creating, you know, end parts manufactured products with high fidelity that are true to CAD on a range of different materials that we wouldn't have even dreamed of 10 years ago. So with this system, Figure 4 system, we've got high speed, really high fidelity, high quality output for the first time. And it's really replacing traditional digital molding solutions.
Well, I've got the brochure here. We'll have some images on the website as well and on our Facebook page. But the Figure 4, 15 times faster with 20% lower parts.
Correct.
Cost.
Yeah, so it's a very, very compelling proposition for manufacturers that mightn't have known about 3D printing or heard about it on the periphery. And now organizations like our customer bases down in Victoria, Amiga Engineering, are really scaling out production through manufacturing and exposing themselves to entire new industries such as automotive, aerospace, and also healthcare.
Is it lowering the entry bar into manufacturing potentially?
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
Also disrupting existing manufacturing.
Absolutely. So the benefit about our partnership with Konica Minolta and 3D Systems is that they've got the widest base of materials, applications, and we provide the critical infrastructure and support in and around the box. So it does make it beneficial. So we know what type of application to insert these, you know, revolutionary technologies such as additive manufacturing and robotics at the right time, and provide that customized service on site within the next business day.
Wow. Martin, we'll have a chat to you about the robotics side. And then just for the audience, we're going to have a chat about IoT security and some of the security around these systems, both from the manufacturer's viewpoint, so someone's not hacking in, but also in terms of what they're making. So Martin, maybe give us an introduction to, I'm going to try it again, Konica Minolta. And the robotics business.
Yeah, so Konica Minolta was a merger between Konica and Minolta in 2003. It's a company that's probably most well known for photography and the production of cameras. Then we moved into copiers and very successful in that area. And now we're looking at innovating in a range of spaces. And that's the reason we're at National Manufacturing Week, looking at both 3D printing, but also robotics. And we're soft launching a robotics, the development of a robotics portfolio, where we're really going to bring to market some service robots, some autonomous service robots, and bring those to market with Konica Minolta's service capability. And provide our clients with a robotic solution that's incredibly well serviced, and so that's what the industry and the market's crying out for, and so that's what we're offering.
What are the robots doing?
They're moving heavy goods to and from in repetitive processes, and so the MIR 200 is the robot that we're launching first. So that can tug 500 kilos in a trolley. Or it can move 200 kilos on top of it. It's a platform, so whatever the application is, the robot can sort of fit into either a manufacturing process or alternatively a movement process. So hospitals use these things to move drugs or blood or meals. The applications are varied.
So you scale that robot to whatever size is required?
Correct, yep. And also we can provide fleets of robots, so the robots can actually work together prioritise tasks accordingly as well.
All right, well, let's talk about security on these. So my first thought is security robots. Are you in that space, or is this more around...
We are actually. Our Business Innovation Centre in the USA, which is based out of Silicon Valley, has invested in a security robotics company called Nightscope. And it's an application where these robots are actually augmenting security guard service in shopping centres and car parks and industrial complexes. And they use smart IP technology, video IP technology, to be able to identify threats and non-threats. That's what
you've invested in that?
We have, yeah.
Okay, so just as a seed investor, I have to disclose I'm a seed investor in Nightscope as well.
Oh, there you go.
So I'll give them a quick plug because, we're both investors.
Yeah.
Nightscope, Bill, the CEO, just declined, and this is for the listening audience, declined to be interviewed because they are just US focused, yeah, and right. If they get any attention outside the US, they get inundated with inquiries. So, g'day, Bill. Thanks for saying no. But he said no in a nice way.
So we're not only a seed investor, but we're also the exclusive service partner for Nightscope.
Nice. All right. Very good. What about outside the US? So we're not going to see a Nightscope robot running around here at Sydney Olympic Park, but
not this year.
Not this year. Okay. So, okay. We'll come back next year. See you next year, Martin. Let's talk about IoT security. And, you know, again, when we look at the capabilities of, say, the Nightscope robot, which is, taking live feeds, it's doing, Wi-Fi scanning, and, it's in that cyber-physical realm. When we think about 3D printing, I think about, the bad guys getting hold of these 3D printers and wanting to make a gun or, whatever it might be.
Mm.
What safeguards are there,
other
than your traditional cybersecurity approaches on protecting the processing systems and the information in there and the IP?
Sure.
What safeguards are being thought about, do you think?
I guess right off the bat, we'll have to, it makes complete sense to acknowledge that 3D printing is a platform. It's a platform to create some amazing things out there in the world. And obviously you can create some other things. So the responsibility is for all players to make sure that technology is used to its best potential. With 3D files, there are a range of different files out there that are permeating, online platforms and what have you. And not to forecast what will eventuate, but what we are beginning to see is that there are some technology solutions in around that software that can mitigate some of the files to be processed on some of the devices.
So one of the thoughts would be to use some sort of AI or identification tool. Absolutely. That says, okay, that what you're making or what is being made is a weapon or could be applied, and therefore either it will stop or require some sort of authentication.
There's a whole host of interesting literature out there permeating the digital landscape right now. A couple of adjacent technologies such as RFID tags being inserted into files as base information that can be certified and released by protective databases and bodies. That makes sense. I was speaking with a university, a major university in Australia, about this, not to give too much away, about creating a patent for that system and that solution. Yep. We also see the emergence of international players that are talking about blockchain technology as a system of trust to release, files that are authorized by, in a democratic and networked way.
I can see how blockchain could be used in terms of that file, and then knowing that it's gone through a certain printer and the manufacturer of that printer and the details around that and where that product's gone. I suppose it's then scaling that up outside of that. At the moment, the market for, say, Figure 4, how much interest are you getting here? And, is it underway somewhere?
Absolutely, globally, we've released it. Internationally, and universities are really crying out for this type of technology.
Yep.
And they're the first ones that we see adopting it because they have, a really firm view of the horizon and how it hits the commercialization process. So internationally, we've released it through a lot of different universities, we being 3D Systems, the extended authorized partner family.
Yep.
Over here in Australia, we're looking to release the Figure 4 family over the next couple of months. We need to cross our T's and dot our I's, but we're just really surprised by the number of people that are familiar with the DLP technology, have various files that wish to see realized in a digital capacity and a physical capacity as well, and really want to push the boundaries of what they can create in a very productive and scalable way.
What type of materials are being used? Because you talked about the Figure 4. Which one was that one that we looked at? The standalone,
yeah.
So maybe just talk through that.
The specifications of it.
Process.
Yeah, there. Sure. So it is
known. We're on a podcast.
Yeah, sure. And I'm not a technical person as well, and I didn't used to be many years ago. So the process is very, very fascinating. It's digital light printing. So it is an inverted process to conventional stereolithography. So the process is identical or similar in many regards, but you trace a laser or an image over the surface. That surface can be top down or bottom up, and that cures basically a layer. And what we have with the Figure 4 family is it's inverted, the build plate is on top, and it's one continuous pull via a projection image underneath, and that projection image is based on a 3D file that has been designed for this purpose and then projected in a very, very quick manner, so it can achieve speeds of up to around 100 millimeters an hour. Wow. And that means so much for organizations that wish to move beyond production, move beyond prototyping, move straight into production.
Are we seeing Moore's Law in this space, like in 2 years' time, will be twice as fast as what we are today?
I believe so.
Yeah.
There's a lot of discussions in around whether we've hit the tipping point with Moore's Law and whether it should slow down, but we see the accelerated...
Well, Moore's Law being the processing power in
twice,
terms of what his theory's about, but actually in this space... Mm. The idea of doubling every 18 to 24 months.
Sure. Yeah, we see not only the speed of what it can achieve really accelerating and will continue to over the next little while through technologies such as DLP.
Yep.
We just need to work with the right partners to realise that and really expand upon the materials and really drive home those applications in a very productive and business cost-effective manner.
How does the client cover... Okay, it's a bit like, I don't know, buying a new car, and then 2 years later the next model comes out and they go, okay, well, now we're driving an old car. Are these systems being designed so they can be upgraded and modularized and
absolutely improve over time. With the figure four device, and I hate to talk too much about additive manufacturing here, but what we really love about the figure four system is that yes, it's a device, yes, it's an automated assembly line, but it is a materials delivery machine. It's there to process materials, so it is a base platform for a whole host of next generation materials and
right.
advances in material sciences in an automated and very integrated manner that doesn't require materials replenishment. But as we'll see, if you invest in the system, we'll be able to expand upon the material. So we're starting to see some really exciting stuff happen in terms of material sciences. So these resins, are high performance resins with a broad range of different capabilities, tensile strength over different cycle times, have durability. And the benefit with Konica Minolta is that we have the capacity to upgrade the devices over the term of the contract.
I take it this is where a lot of interest comes out of the universities as well, doing research in that material science,
exactly.
chemistry.
We're working with just to name drop a few universities that are really on the cutting edge
yep.
of additive manufacturing: University of New South Wales, a Western Sydney University that have moved into DMP. And parts manufacturing, and also some Queensland ones as well.
Great. Well, Martin Keetles, the National Business Manager for Robotics, and Mark Brandon, the Marketing Manager for 3D Printing and Robotics.
Correct.
From, last time I'm going to just say it, Konica Minolta. I've got it down pat.
There you go.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us on the Cybersecurity Weekly podcast.
Thanks, Chris.